stay bored.
Welcome back to Stay Bored, a board game review podcast. I'm Aaron Zerfus. I'm joined today by my sister, Anna Wright. Anna, how are ya?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's nice. Anna, what game are we going to be reviewing today?
We're going to be reviewing one of my favorites called Mountains.
What's your background with this game?
I got it a couple years ago, and I like it because it's a good cognitive game, I guess, where it challenges your memory, attention skills, that type of thing. So just playing it with different people and seeing different strategies has been really enjoyable.
You say you got it. You don't remember how you got it?
Well, maybe a certain brother gave it to me. Maybe.
That's right. So, Hannah, why don't you give us like the game introduction straight from the box?
It's early in the day. The mountains are radiant in the first morning light, and little by little, the sun is moving deeper into the valley. There is an atmosphere of departure in the mountain hut. Hikers are quickly lacing their hiking boots and packing their rucksacks. Only those who take proper care of their equipment can complete the day's trek and receive the coveted summit stamp in the evening. Those who are missing something can use favor stones to borrow equipment from their fellow hikers. But be careful. Not everyone actually wants to help, and some only have their sight set on their favor stones. Only those who are clever will have the most stamps in their summit book at the end of the season.
So what is like the format of the game? Kind of how is it laid out?
So you have a board, and on that board you lay down what are called your equipment cards. And your equipment cards vary from having one piece of equipment on them up to having five pieces of equipment. And underneath each of those decks is what you earn for locating that equipment. The other deck of cards that you have is what's shuffled out, and that's like what the equipment is. So there's like a canteen, a compass, a rope, boots, things like that, that you have in your deck in your hand. So each player starts, I think it depends on the number of players, how many cards you start with. So if you have three players, you get six equipment cards. And then when it's your turn on the board, you say, okay, I'm going to try to find three items. And you draw that three card. And then you have to look and see, what do I have? And what do you think other people might have? And in order to use other people's equipment, that's where those favor tokens come in that the intro talked about. So each player starts off with X number of tokens, again, dependent on number of people playing. And you would ask, Aaron, can I borrow your first aid kit? And you have to give him a token. And if
he has to say yes.
He has to say yes. Hmm. If he doesn't have it, he still takes my token and says no. So you lose your token either way. So that's that cognitive memory component, because as the game progresses, you have to remember who has what pieces of equipment. And that way, when it's your turn to draw your cards, you can use your favorite tokens really, effectively for them.
Okay.
And then to win the game, every time you find all the equipment that you need, so say you tried to find three pieces of equipment and you find them through the group, you get stamps in your little passport book. And then at the end of the game, whoever has the most stamps for completing their equipment cards wins.
So these like actual stamps, like you can mail mm-hmm. a letter with them?
No, it's like a ink pad stamp.
Ah.
So like you have a little thing, you dab it on the ink pad, you dab it in your passport card, which is another layer of fun.
That's fun.
Getting to stamp something.
So, Hannah, can you go over the contents and, like, the what's inside the box.
Yeah. Yep. So inside the box, there are two decks of cards. There's your gear cards, and this is what will get shuffled and dealt to you. And then there's the equipment cards, and these are what get laid out on the board. Also in the box, you have your favor tokens, which are little plastic cubes. And each player gets 8 of these at the start of the game. And then you have your passports and a physical stamp and ink pad. So when you're playing the game, like I said, you get dealt your gear cards. And depending on the number of players, depends how many cards you get to start. Equipment cards are laid out on the game. And then you will draw one of the 6 choices of equipment cards to decide how much gear you want to locate in the group. So this could be 1 piece of gear, 2, 3, 4, or 5 as you go. And if you are successful in locating that gear within the group by either you having it in your deck or using a favor token to gain it from somebody else, you either earn more favor tokens or the stamp. And ultimately, you want the stamps because that is how you win the game.
So you kind of went over this a bit, Hannah, but could you go over like the strategy for the start, the middle, and the end of the game?
Yeah. So in the beginning, and I didn't mention this part, so you're dealt your equipment. So you like look in your hand of what you have. And then usually you want to start with trying to find fewer pieces of equipment because you have no idea what anybody else has at the start. So just throwing away your favorite tokens, it's not really good to be like, I'm going to try to locate 5 things. Chances are you have 1 of the 5, and then you'd have to use a minimum 4 tokens to complete that set. So you usually want to start with just finding 1 or 2 pieces and start figuring out what other people have, and then come up with strategies to remember what people have. So I would use my favorite strategy is like association. So if Aaron showed me, yeah, I have a first aid kit in my pack, I'd be like, oh, okay. So Aaron should have had a first aid kit when he went camping that one time and sliced his finger open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's helpful.
So that's how I would connect those dots and then be able to remember that the rest of the game. Then in the lower equipment cards, so in the 1 or 2 things that you have to find, there are cards where everybody in the game gets more equipment. So it's just kind of a wash of a turn anyway, but everybody picks up another equipment card to add to their deck. So that's another advantage to start with those lower decks, because then you build up more of what's in your hand, and then you don't have to ask as often for other things. But again, everybody's drawing something, so everybody's gaining something new that you're going to have to figure out down the line what exactly they got added as well.
So then how does the game finish?
At the end of a turn, when 2 of the supply card decks are gone, and they have to be in the 3 to 5 range of supply. So if the 3 card where you have to find 3 pieces of equipment, or the 2-5 card, once 2 of those decks are gone, then the game ends. So that's a strategy as well to consider. Do you want to end the game and be going after those decks more, or do you want the game to continue and use some of the lower equipment decks?
So for some strategy and tips for a new player, what would be one thing that you wish you knew when you first started playing Mountains?
I wish I knew more of the memory strategies, keeping track of things, of who has what, and paying attention to that. And then also being mindful of like earning your stamps, because there are ways, if you complete the deck, You earn your stamps. So if you find four pieces of equipment, you get two stamps for that kind of deal. But there's also things, and again, I didn't mention this earlier, but within these decks that you could draw a card and you could pay like six favor tokens for two stamps. So you kind of essentially you just like buy your way to a stamp without having to do the memory component, which sometimes those are good deals and sometimes they're not, and you have to decide based on how your game is going and what you know if that's an effective strategy to use your favor tokens that way. Because once you use them, there are ways you get them back by other people asking for your equipment. They give you their tokens, but otherwise it can be hard to come upon. And if players decide, like, nah, I'm not gonna ask you, you kind of get stuck in a way, thinking about that strategy as well of when do I buy my stamps versus trying to earn my stamps.
So what would you say is your favorite part of mountains, Hannah?
When I know of like, okay, Aaron has a first aid kit, and I had that way of remembering it. But then when other people like can't quite figure it out and watching them try to reason of like who had it, sometimes it just triggers some funny stories like that of like people's camping experiences or how they associated things or things like that of just those memories coming forward from adventures that people have had. So I like learning about those, feel like good conversation. And then I also just like, again, thinking about some of that strategy of like, do you end the game? Do you not? How do you use your favorite tokens? Do you ice a player and nobody give them favorite tokens? Like that kind of stuff. It's just kind of a fun group dynamic game.
Well, the game can't be all good, Hannah. So, what would be your least favorite part?
Kind of a one-trick pony game. It is fun to play it multiple times because I do feel it gets harder each time. Where like my first round of playing it, I've committed Aaron has the first aid kit. And then by the third round of playing it, if he has a first aid kit again, or if he doesn't, it just gets harder to keep track of was that this game, was that last game, that sort of thing. So there's that level of it to play it multiple times, but at the same time, it's kind of a one-trick pony game where like I'm really enjoying games that are like deck building or when the board changes or like Settlers of Catan or something where it's always kind of different with it. You don't have that aspect with mountains. The deck stays the same, the board's pretty much the same, concepts are all the same. So there's not exactly a new challenge you're presented with as you're playing, but it is fun. Like I said, the association memory components of it, when you play it with different people, I think I definitely have played it more than once and enjoy it every time, but it's not as
You can't play it every day.
yeah, you can't play it every day.
You can't play it every day.
Yeah, you can't play it every day, but it's also a simple, fun, easy game, easy to teach, that kind of thing.
So, Hannah, the time is nigh, and we must end the podcast with the infamous ranking system. So instead of it just being like a 1 to 10, like you might have thought, it is like you're rolling two dice. And like a pair of sixes is like a really good thing, but like snake eyes is also kind of cool. So like if you were to roll the dice and it would correspond to this game's ranking, what would you give it and why?
So I only have a pair of dice, like two. It's not like Yahtzee, where I could
I
get
mean,
like
if you
a lot.
want to throw in three more dice and explain that, then feel free.
Okay, because I would call it like a full house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where like it's not as exciting as a Yahtzee, and you come across it more often, but it is something that I do enjoy and get excited over and like to teach people with it. And I think it's just a unique game that nobody else has really come across with it too.
It's good with lots of people.
Yeah.
Yep. A full house, if you will.
Yes. Yep. It's a good entertaining party game. Yeah. Yep.
Wow, what an appropriate ranking, Hannah. Well, there you have it. Thank you, Hannah, for stopping on by via Zoom, and enjoy your treks up the mountain.
Thank you.